In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. A wise preacher might choose on the Sundays where John 3:16 is the gospel lesson, might choose to go down the aisle, say, "The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John," await your response, and then just say, John 3:16, the word of the Lord, thanks be to God, and then sit down and stop talking. Well, I'm not a particularly wise preacher, and I'm not inclined to sit down just yet. But the reason that a wise preacher might choose to do that is because John 3:16 is an icon for us. And the icon is framed by goalposts, and it's a big yellow poster, and it just says John 3:16. And I'm not even joking. That is part of our cultural awareness. In a high-context society like ours, where football, we all understand it, whether you like it or not, we have all seen John 3:16. And whether you know what it means or not, you know it has something to do with accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Something like that. It's an icon. And what is an icon? Well, you know, icons are we owe the Greek, Russian, and Eastern Orthodox Christians for the gift of icons to the church. And icons serve a very specific purpose, and they are to help us become aware of that of which we are unaware, to bring a grace into the world that we were unaware of before we gazed on this icon. And if you were born before the computer generation, you know it is far more than a thing on the top of your computer screen that opens up a program. And in fact, if you're a member of our 5th and 6th grade Sunday school class, you are writing icons right now, because Lisa has invited a couple of our adult volunteers, Sarah Markham and Michael Sullivan, to teach our children about iconography and to help them write icons. And in her article in the Tidings, Lisa said that the purpose of an icon is to draw attention to the unseen beauty of faith, heaven, and spirit. That is the purpose of an icon. Now, John 3:16 is that icon for us. Because what does it say? It talks all about the beauty of God's love for the world. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that whosoever believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life." It is an invitation into the gracious heart of God. God loves you so much. God loves the world so much that he sacrificed his own Son so that the world might know God and come into the light. As Jesus expands later in this very same passage, he talks about that the light shines so that the deeds may be exposed, and that so those who live in God live into the light. And the activities that are done in God. And if John 3:16 was really an icon, then the preacher could sit down, because that's how we would understand it. But I'm not sure that's exactly what that is when we see it between the goalposts. I actually think it might be treated more like a talisman. Remember what a talisman is? It is something that you could wear around your neck, or something you would put in your pocket, or a magic phrase that you could say that would keep you safe and protected. That's a talisman. And we all do it on one level or another. If you have a cross in your pocket, you are working with a talisman. I used to, when I was a young priest and I had to fly places, I really didn't care for flying much. You know, it wasn't the flying part I minded, it was the landing and the taking off. I wasn't so keen on that. So I had a little wooden rosary that I kept in my pocket, and I would put it in my hand when I flew. Why? If I just touch this, the plane won't crash, right? That's how talismans don't work, right? They don't work at all, right? There's silly little superstitious things that we do that try to make us feel safe. But it's a very ancient human tradition, way precedes Christianity, but it's part of every religious tradition to find some physical thing that you can do, a saying or a touch, something you can look at or something that you can touch that will keep you safe. wait, that sounds an awful lot like what was happening in the story with Moses, right? Old Testament passage today, the Hebrew people are almost finished with their sojourn through the wilderness. They're at the end. They're at 40 years. They're getting ready to go into the promised land, and they are still complaining about the food. They have been complaining about the food for 40 years. And apparently God has had enough, and he says, I'm going to give you something else to worry about. Poisonous snakes in the camp distract them from the bad food. They start getting bit. They start to die. Moses prays to God, what should I do? He says, make a pole that looks like a snake, and every time they look at it, they will live. So Moses crafts one out of bronze, lifts it up to everyone who's been bitten by a snake, and they live. That's really strange that it's in the Bible. That's really strange that God commanded this to happen, because that's a talisman, isn't it? That's looking at something and thinking that it will save you. But where's the context of this one? The context of this, I mean, there's all kind of good archaeological and historical things why it's connected to Egyptian culture and Egyptian religion, et cetera, et cetera. But this story is about God leading God's people, always leading God's people and always having to come to the rescue over and over and over, and they complain and whine about it all the time. That's the point of the story. So this is just another piece in that. So was the serpent an icon or was it a talisman? Not really sure, but Jesus picks it up in today's gospel lesson. Did you know this was so close to your John 3:16 that we all know so well? Jesus says, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Lifted up can mean two things. It can mean exalted, you know, glorified. It can also mean lifted up on a stick, which is exactly what's going to happen. Both of those things are going to happen. He will be lifted up on a stick, and he will be exalted. It says, if you look upon Jesus on the cross, you will live, right? So it's connected back. Something about Jesus being on the cross that draws us into the light. What does it say? It says, so that those who believe in him, but it's a kind of a strange, I read this week, that it's not really so much believe in as some sort of cognitive acceptance of information, but it's to believe into, like to become, to plunge in, to be a part of. So that's very different, isn't it? That's not a talisman at all. That's an icon. That is what takes us into the actual reality of something. So we look upon Jesus on the cross and we see grace. We have complained and complained and complained for 40 years. We're always getting it wrong. God always has to come to the rescue, and God never stops coming to the rescue. God takes his own son, lifts it up so that we can see God's grace. This is how much God loves you. Live into, plunge into. All right, maybe this helps with the difference between a talisman idea and an icon. Years ago, I was visiting a parishioner in Dallas at the hospital. I finished my visit and was leaving the hospital, and which happens to clergy often in hospitals. Somebody else I ran into in the hall, whom I did not know, asked me to come see her uncle. I said, well, sure, I've got some time. I'll go see your uncle. So we're walking down the hall, and I'm asking her, what's going on with your uncle? Well, he's got cancer. He's only got a couple of days to live. He's in and out of consciousness, and I'm really worried about him. I said, well, of course you're worried about him. I totally understand. She goes, no, I'm worried he's going to go to hell. So I said, maybe we should stop walking for a minute. Can you give me a little more information? What? Why is he going to go to hell? I said, is he a bad guy? She goes, no, he's actually a really nice guy. Said, well, then, why is he going to go to hell? She said, because he's never confessed with his lips that Jesus Christ is Lord. I said, oh, okay. So your uncle's not a religious man. He goes, no, he's Catholic. Okay, well, now we need to sit down. You got to give me some more information here. He's Catholic, but, and she goes, no, he's Catholic. And then you get the background. It was something like, you know, back several generations, her part of the family stopped being Catholic. His part of the family is still Catholic. And they became hyper-evangelicals of some denomination. And she was very convinced that you have to confess with your lips that Jesus Christ is Lord, or you're going to go to hell. Talisman thinking. You've got to say the right words. You've got to say the magic phrase, and as long as I say the magic phrase, I'll be okay. And I said, well, it was, I said, we sat down, and I said, is he a good Catholic? I mean, does he go to church? He goes, oh, I think he goes to church all the time. I said, well, good, okay. I said, I think maybe the problem that you have is not a theological problem. It's a semantic one. I said, you say that he must confess with his lips that Jesus Christ is Lord. Yes, he must, or he's going to go to hell. I said, okay, have you ever been to a Catholic service? She goes, no. I said, it goes like this. We're Episcopalians, not Catholic, but it's real similar. They sit, they listen to the word of the Lord, and then they hear a sermon, and then they stand up on their feet, and they confess that Jesus Christ is Lord every single Sunday. But it's like this. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. He says it every single Sunday. He has plunged deep into this water. So I really think he's okay. I think maybe you shouldn't worry. I think God has got him. That's the difference between talisman and icon. Icon is when you do it every single week. You plunge into that water every single week and you confess it over and over and over because we're all children of the dark, just like Paul says, like we all are. He says it just like that. Just like all of us are. We're all children of the dark. We're all desperate for the light. We are all desperately clinging to the icon of Jesus lifted up. Because outside of that, there's no hope for any of us. This is the invitation that the gospel gives us. This is the invitation that John 3:16 has, is to plunge in. It's not about the magic sentence. Not about you say this word and now you just go on with your life just like you were beforehand. It is about allowing the light and the grace to change you, to turn you away from being children of the dark and into children of light, and then to manifest that into the world around us. And you will know what it looks like because those are the people who are living in love and joy and generosity and are not bound by fear or hatred or resentment. That is the icon that John 3:16 is for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his Son, that all who look upon him, all who believe in him, all who plunge in will be saved. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.